if you've got your Bibles this morning, and turn to Acts. And again, it's going to be chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse 36. You see, the Word of God doesn't, it's just another book in our day, in our world today. Used to be when it was Holy Scripture, and they began to read Holy Scripture, they would stand in reverence to Him. That's why we stand when we have that time of our service, is to show God that we revere Him and that we do fear Him and that we respect Him. And this isn't just another book. This just is another word, but it's God speaking to us. And when we lose that sense that this is God's holy word and we show no respect to it, that there are other things that are more important than it, you know, the beepings of our phones, the workings of our life, that we're not putting things out of our mind and out of our heart, and that yet we wonder where God's at in our life when we don't give Him the time to show Him that reverence and respect. If it's just me up here speaking, then you've lost the whole thing about what this is all about. This is God's word to you. It's God's word to me. And it ought to have some type of, I guess, respect and credence that we're talking about the creator of this world, the creator of this universe, is willing to speak to us, but we casually accept it or don't accept it. We casually come with it or don't go with it. It just kind of, we made it our own thing. And we've lost that aspect of, wow, this is God's word. See, it's much like King, and if you missed Sunday school, you missed a good lesson, but it's kind of like King Saul. He became very comfortable in his position as king. I think that maybe we have become very comfortable as, and I'll put Christians in quote because you know I don't like that word, but as children of God, we have become so comfortable in as children of God, we have forgotten who God is and we have forgotten the respect and the fear of God. And so we just come and go when we want. If God's word is being spoken, doesn't really matter. It's not for me, it's for everybody else, because by George, it's I'm okay. I've already judged myself and have found myself to be good and pure and holy by what I'm doing. But we don't look at the aspect of what you are and that character and that integrity that God gives us, those fruits of the Spirit that should be blossoming in our life, but they're not. And the reason they're not is because you're not doing it the way that God says you have to do it. See, King Saul learned that, didn't he? King Saul learned that you have to do it exactly the way that God says do it. King David learned that you have to do it the way that God said do it. You see, we forget that. We want to make it our own way. It's our personal relationship. And therefore, we get to decide how we come to God and when we come to God and why we come to God, when God wrote it out very clearly. Listen to what this says. It says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God. So David was one of those chosen instruments of God. He was out there messing around, minding his own business. He was the youngest of his family. And God chose him to be king based on his heart, based on what God knew his heart was, that he would at least follow his statutes. It didn't mean David was perfect. It didn't mean that David didn't slip up, but ultimately David's heart was after God's heart. He wanted to ultimately please him. Read the Psalms of David, how he repented and how he had godly remorse in his life. He was one of those people that, yes, he might have messed up, but what did he do about it? He corrected it. He went to God and asked God to cleanse his heart with the blood of, with hyssop, is that? You know, the hyssop was that thing that they rolled around, you know, on the, used to put the blood on the mantles and stuff. So, cleanse me. You know, he knew his iniquities. You see, it's amazing that in our nowadays that we don't think that our sin stinks. We look at everybody else and determine how good we're doing instead of looking in the scriptures to determine how well we're doing. But David had served his purpose in his own generation. He fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay, God making a distinction between human authority and godly authority. You see, they wanted a king. God gave them kings. God a permissive will. But these kings come and go. Christ doesn't come and go. Christ is forever. He was there before the foundation of the world. He came. He was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We rejected him. You all heard that, don't kill the messenger. They killed the messenger. He was the messenger. God came and used his son as a messenger because they wouldn't listen to the angels. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. They wouldn't listen to anybody. So he said, I'll send my son. And they didn't listen to him, and we're still not listening to him, which is an amazing thing. It's written here for us. We've got the advantage because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we have the Word of God written, but yet it doesn't mean much to us. It's just something that we do to check off our list to make sure that we're, I guess, we do, that's what we do. We check off things, right, to make sure we're okay with God instead of actually walking with the Lord, actually praying without ceasing, actually walking in the Spirit, walking above sin. Had a conversation in exam room with a gentleman this week, and he's frustrated with his church and said something's just not right. At their church, they have become inclusive. So is that what, you know, everyone's involved, you know, everybody's okay. And you can sit through that service, and if you're not okay, you still leave that service thinking you're okay. What's that word is, we're all supposed to be accepting of everybody, and wherever how you come, that's the way you are, and so as churches, we're supposed to accept that as well, right? Everybody's inclusive. Well, I'll tell you where we're inclusive at. They're all included in going to hell. That's the common denominator. And I asked the gentleman, I said, think back on the sermons. Because he said, oh, the sermons seem to be okay. I said, when have you talked about being born again? He said, well, we've never talked about that. Really? You've never talked about that? And yet he says that unless you're born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of God, but you don't ever talk about that? He said, no. So he hasn't been for a couple of Sundays because he says something's very wrong where I'm going. And so, again, hopefully God will lead him to a place that he can find truth. But it's amazing that even when we know that something's wrong, we don't do anything about it. And that's just as much a sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's just as much as wrong as sinning, is not doing anything about it. You know, he says, well, I'm all broken up. I said, a child of God is not broken up. A child of God realizes that he was broken up. But a child of God ought to have the precept that he's being fixed. And that's how he ought to live his life, is I'm being fixed. God's healing me. God's cleansing me. God's freeing me from the sin being master over me. And that's the mindset that we should have, not that we're still broken. See, it's when we live in that past and we can't get past the elementary teachings of Christ, understanding that what he did for us, and we're just a slap in the face to him on the cross when we remain in that. No, he revealed to me that I was broken. He revealed to me that I was sick. But he didn't leave me there. What kind of a God, what kind of love is that would leave you where he finds you? And he said, basically, that's what their church is about, is diversity. That's the word I was looking for. Diversity, right? That's everywhere now, right? We have to be diversified. But that's totally against Scripture. Did you know that? Because this is be unified. So you can't be diversified and unified. It's impossible. But see, all your churches, big churches, your mainstream churches are becoming diversified because of the peer pressure of humanity instead of unified by the fear of God. Wow. But Jesus doesn't go under decay. He's once and he was there beginning. He's forever. He's never going to, it's everlasting with him. He says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins was proclaimed to you. Okay? I mean, this was amazing. There is a forgiveness of sin. But it's not just the forgiveness of sin. That's not the only thing that's being proclaimed. There's a freedom from it. Okay? Where that bondage no longer has, you're not a slave to it anymore. You now have a right to make decisions. And decisions you make are everlasting. It's like, you know, fathers, you know, it's like, it's amazing to be a father. You know why? Because you come in and these little guys, they come and they hug. And man, they want to grab you around the neck and say, oh, I love you, daddy. And man, they think you're perfect. And they fight at school. They have fights on whose daddy's the best. Oh, my daddy's better than yours. My daddy can do this and my daddy can do that. And then they grow up and they find out that we have flaws. It's sad when they find out and understand that God's not fixing those flaws. The thing that your children ought to understand is that you are flawed. You're not that perfect daddy that they think you are, but they see you being perfected by Christ. They see you on your knees, asking direction for your family. You see, whether you like it or not, the man is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. Matter of fact, the scripture says that if the wife wants to know something, the woman wants to, she needs to go ask her husband. And it's sad that there's a lot of families where the wife is way further along spiritually than the husband. And that's sad, because it's not the way that God intended it. God intended for the man to be leading her, not her leading him. That's why she's a helper, to help him to become the spiritual leader of the home. But there are guys that don't even care about that. It's no big deal to them. They don't understand the consequences till it hits them in the face, and their kids are grown up, and what their kids have become. Never stepping foot in church to come worship Almighty God. Or not be in the church is what I should say. You see, just because you bring them to church doesn't make them the church. Just because you bring them to church doesn't guarantee their salvation. Fathers, it's how you live. It's how you showed them what's important. You can't sit here and go to church and act like the world. You can't here come and worship and have the same fears and anxiety as the world. If you're not showing your kids that there's something different about what this is and what you have become, then they're in danger of being deceived by Almighty Satan there. He's powerful. God has granted him as this is his kingdom. He's seeking those whose he will devour. He wants your children. He wants to destroy your family. Now we've been into his lies for too long. Don't think that just because you come to church and you read your Bible that you're going to not have to worry about that. If we don't live our lives in accordance to who we say we are, then how will our children and our grandchildren understand that? Pop, pop, why are you dressing up? Why are you wearing a tie to go to church? Because I watch on TV and all them preachers have on just a old collar or shorts or something. Why would you do that? Oh, I have a great opportunity now to share why. I want to tell you about what God's done for me. And I dress up out of respect for him. I dress up because it says two or more gather in his name, and he's going to be in my presence. And by George, I can't think of anybody else that I would want to clean myself up for. See, we don't dress up to be cleaned up. We dress up because we're cleaned up. That makes sense? There's got to be some aspect of what God did for you. There's got to be some show in appreciation. You know, the world says, no, just don't worry about it. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter how you come in here. I beg to differ. I can show you passages of Scripture that'll refute that. God is holy, and his holiness demands my perfection. He says, be perfect. Your Holy Father is perfect. He goes, and through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things. See, I am not bound by anything on this earth. Anything that man comes up with, I am not obligated to. Do you understand that? The reason the Bible taught to submit to your authority and your governing bodies is because your governing bodies were set up by God to punish evildoers and carry out God's word. But when your authority figures say, no, we have a better way, then I am not under obligation to that authority. I'm ultimately obligated to one authority, and that is God. And if I read in his word, and the authority says to do this, I am not to do that. I have been freed from that. I've been freed from all the obligations of men. I'm freed from the law. I am not under that law anymore. God wrote the law so that I would know that I need a Savior. That was the purpose of that law, knowing that I could not keep his commandments, knowing that I fell short and I was hopelessly, helplessly lost. I'm not under that law. I've been freed from that. But I've not been freed from it to walk the way that I want to walk and do what I want to do. Because you were bought with a price. Remember, we talked about that last week, that your bodies are a temple of God and you were bought with a price and you're not your own. He goes and said, therefore take heed so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Okay? So, this book is full of warnings. And if we don't heed God's word, and if we don't respect it for what it is, then these may come upon. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you. I don't want you to be one of these people that sit in Sunday after Sunday and Sunday and hear God's word and it never has an impact on your life. I can only give you the warnings of God from his word, and the ultimate warning is you don't stand before him when he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And please don't be so arrogant sitting there thinking that that can't be me. You can be so deceived that you'll go through life, you'll flutter through life with some religious connotation and stand before Almighty God and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Are you willing to take that chance? Because this is God's word and God's warning to us. His love is so that we wouldn't perish, not so that we would go to heaven. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging, This is what's amazing. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Man, they were hungering for the truth. They couldn't wait to the next Sabbath day to hear the Word of God. How excited are you? Can you not wait till the next Sunday to hear what God has to say? I mean, let's be honest. Is this our attitude? Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who was speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. Wow. See, Wednesday night worship isn't just something, it's your body coming together to hear the word of the Lord. Sunday school is not just something you come to or go, it's hearing the word of the Lord. And I don't know that we have that excitement. I don't know that we're that intrigued with God that we need to hear his word. I know we've come so complacent in our life that I know this world has. But we on church, in this church, we have to be on guard that that's not us. That God's not bringing these messages because that's us, that we don't care. Really, truly care. That this is the word of God. That it can have an impact on my life and the lives of my children and the lives of my grandchildren and the lives of my coworkers and the lives of the people that that God brings my way. Do you know what the consequence of this is if we don't get this right? It's an eternal damnation. Not only if we don't get it right, but those that are around us. These people that are preaching diversity and preaching all inclusion, they're not our enemies. They're blind. They're lost. And if we don't love them in the way that God loves them and to be their light, this gentleman spoke and he said, you know, I'm tired of this being pushed down my throat. And he says, you know, I found out which companies, in our company, I mean, VCA, there were a lot of technicians wearing the rainbow shirts this week because it's Pride Month, in case y'all didn't know. And what that means is that you're promoting and honoring the LGBT, ABC, XYZ, whatever they are now. I don't know it all. But that's what they're honoring. Then they're wearing these t-shirts. And he said, I'm tired. I said, I'm finding all these places. He says, and I'm going to stop supporting them. And I had to remind him on the way out, but you'll buy a hat from a drunkard? You'll go ahead and participate with those that are committing adultery and not having a good marriage? And you'll go ahead and those that are thieves? Said, you don't seem to have a problem buying stuff from them. See, he's been in this attitude of religion his whole for so long now, he now thinks he's doing something good for God by boycotting. Isn't that amazing? Boy, a homosexual, we won't buy him or build, make him a cake or t-shirt, but boy, someone who's out there cheating on their wife or, you know, beating their children, doing drugs, pornography, rejecting God, but we'll do everything we can with them. But that's how far our church, so I'm going to put them in parentheses, our churches have come from the word of Almighty God. But they don't understand and forgotten that they were supposed to be the light to these folks, not their judge and jury. But I wish we could get excited about the Word of God. I wish you would have that in your heart, that the next time, I cannot wait for our body to get together. Okay? I can't wait till the next time that we meet. Because I have an expectation of God being there. An expectation of revelation of truth that's going to affect my life and the lives of those that are around me. And if that is not our aspiration, we are to most be pitied of all men. This whole city was going to come because of the Word of God. Not because they were famous. It wasn't because it wasn't Coach Cal. It wasn't Tiger Woods coming to speak. It wasn't somebody that had a famous name. But you know why they were gathering? You know why they were gathering? Because they were hearing from God. Amazing.